We thank the Lord for the privilege of coming back to our second lesson on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 2. It's where we get our lesson title, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word," that is by spiritual gift, any preacher, "nor by word nor by the letter as from us," and they were false letters sent out under Paul's name trying to deceive people, "as that the day of Christ is at hand." That's what we've been looking at, and we want to continue to look at, is the day of Christ. Now, I remind you of this right quick. We'll get into it. Luke 17, in verse number 23, "And they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them." Jesus said, "It's coming today after I go back to heaven and the Holy Spirit's coming. It's not going to be a matter of location." I know we say, well, we've got to be at this particular building on this particular day at this particular time, and that's when we worship the Lord. Well, dear friend, if you can't worship the Lord anywhere, you can't worship the Lord there. So he says, it's not here or there. "Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part of heaven shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." I'm reading Luke 17, 24. Now, verse 25. "But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They're given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Dear soul, we need to be ready. We don't know. It said they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Well, when did they know? When the flood came. They knew not until the flood came. Then they knew, but it's too late. They were already in the damnation and the destruction. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1, if I can get to it. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." That's our problem. We need to stay in constant contact with God. I've told you over and over again, trying to be a faithful witness to your dear soul, that God consciousness is the greatest deterrent from sin that you will ever find. How in the world was Joseph able to put off the apostasy and the adultery that Potiphar's wife tried to lead him into, but that he had consciousness of God? He was way away from home. Nobody would have known. His mom and daddy wasn't there. They didn't know where he was. He was down in a strange land among a strange people, and this beautiful woman was trying to get him to go to bed with her, and she was his master's wife, and he left her so much in such a hurry that she pulled his coat off as he ran out the door, and she used it to try to lie on him, and she did lie on him and say that he tried to force himself on her and got him in worse trouble. But how was he able to keep himself from sinning against God? God consciousness. He knew his daddy wouldn't know it, his mama wouldn't know it, his brothers and sisters wouldn't know it. Nobody would know it if he did it, but God would, and that's what kept him from sin, and that's what caused God to be able to bless him and put him on the second highest throne in Egypt. So we need to make sure we stay in constant contact with God in our self-consciousness with our God-consciousness. righteousness. So we see, dear soul, that being in contact with God, that's what it's all about. Now, can I get you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33? The book of Exodus, chapter number 33. Verse number 4, Exodus 33, 4. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. The evil tidings that they heard was in verse 3, "Thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." So they said, there ain't no sense wearing these jewels and these ornaments, decking myself. God says, and has shown me what a sinner I am. So they took their ornaments off of them. For the Lord had said unto Moses, "Say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Now listen at verse 7. This is what I wanted to get to. And Moses took the tabernacle, not the tabernacle, it hadn't been put together yet, hadn't been given yet, but this was his tent of congregation where Moses met with God. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. That means outside the camp. Now, hold your place. In 25, Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, I believe it is. Let's see. Exodus 25, 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." So he says, I want you to make a tabernacle that I may dwell among them. But now they had sinned against God. They had built this golden calf. They had caused Moses to be so angry when he came down off the mountain that he threw the tables of stone down and broke the law, broke the tables of the law. And there they were naked and dancing and had a golden calf that they said was their image of God. So God said, take your ornaments off. Let me read you what the ornaments are to the Christian. What are your ornaments? Not 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Your ornaments, he said, and verse number 9. I thought that was it. I had to check and see. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold or pearls or costly stone, or of costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So the Christian's ornaments, just spiritually, our ornaments are those things of the Spirit, submission to God, obedience to God, not with gold and pearls and costly array, but with good works and with godliness. So when we sin against God, we lose our ornaments of our good works, of our obedience to God and of our submission to God. So the children of Israel, here we go back to Exodus 33, and we'll take back up with verse 6. "And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb." Verse 7. "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. He pulled up the tent pegs, folded up the tent, took it out from the middle of the congregation, and took it outside the camp and set it back up afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp or outside the camp." So It says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." The last thing they had heard God say is that I may know what to do unto thee. They didn't know what God was going to do to them because they knew they had sinned against God by making this golden calf. And it was so much so that Moses said, "I'm not going to leave religion like it is. You have so defiled yourself and separated yourself from God. Your sin has separated you from the Lord," and I read you that he takes the place where they meet God and takes it outside the camp and said, "Okay, those of you who really want to worship God, you're going to have to go out there." And so the people, as Moses would come by their tent on the way out to the tabernacle, every man stood in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. They're thinking, "What's going to happen to us?" And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. It reminds you of the scene in Acts chapter 1, and we're coming back there in just a minute. And it reminds you of the scene in Acts chapter number 1 as the disciples stood outside of Jerusalem. And it says, "And when Christ," well, let me read verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The glory of God's going to come back. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, just like the Israelites standing in their tent door watching Moses go by and wondering what's going to happen to them, they kept looking until the glory fell upon the tabernacle where Moses was. While they beheld, he, Christ, was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly up towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. As the Israelites watched Moses go by, and they had the threat of death upon them, and it was God was saying, I'm going to try to find out that I may know what to do unto thee," Exodus 33:5. They were watching to see what was going to happen with Moses as he disappeared into that tent, and they were thrilled that the cloud of glory came down. It meant that God was still with them. So the apostles in Acts chapter 1, knowing that they were sinners, knowing that Jesus Christ had taught them, knowing that they had been with Christ all these days of his ministry, they were constantly looking, like the Israelites were looking for Moses going by. They were looking at Jesus going up. And the angel said, "Don't stand here looking at him. Go back into Jerusalem and do what God said. God's going to send you the Holy Ghost," which was the glory of God that fell upon them. And they were all gathered together in one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other languages. It's similar to the same thing. So, dear soul, we want to stay right with God. But where was God? Outside the camp. We have been given a blessing as far as religion is concerned with this COVID-19 and with us having to be socially distanced. We were separated from organized religion and put out on our own, standing in our own tent door And we wondered, what kind of situation is this? What's God going to do with us now? And dear soul, it depends upon you. Now you've got to deal with God yourself. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ leaving the earth not to come back again. And he said, one of these days, you're going to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man Luke chapter 17 and verse 22, and you're not going to see it. I'm not coming back on the earth like this anymore. That's what we're talking about. One of the days of the Son of Man, the day of Christ. When will he come back on the earth? Dear soul, they're not going to see this, Jesus said. You desire to see it and you shall not see it. And Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yea, though we have known Christ in the flesh, henceforth know we him no more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. So you have got to walk personally, you yourself, not you and your wife, not you and your husband, not you and your kids, not you and your mom and daddy, not you and your preacher, not you and your deacons, but you. You come unto me and I will give you rest. We're having to learn to adjust to God personally. We want to see what's going to happen to us. God said, I will determine what I will do with you. So they watched Moses go by and they yearned for an opportunity to know that they were right with God still. But they stood in their own tent door. And they stood there in their own tent door and they didn't have their ornaments on. Dear soul, we as sinners stand in our own stead and stand before God in our own tent door, as it were, in our own day and time, and look and say, Lord, I don't have any ornaments. I don't have a meek and quiet spirit. I don't have an ornament of not gold and silver, but of the work of the Holy Spirit within me. I need you, Lord, for without you I can do nothing. When you are aware of your sin and you know that you had danced to the music of the golden calf and God has destroyed the law and separated himself from you, and you're saying, Lord, help me to know that you're not through with me. Standing in your tent door now, you're going to have to come to God yourself. That's the way it's always been. Churchianity has fooled us. Churchianity has deceived us. We thought because we could go into that aisle of that second row of benches from the back of the third row from the front or whatever, and move over to the left side or the right side, and this was exactly the place we go to. Everybody knows that so-and-so sits here, and I know where I sit, and this is the way it is. And so when I do that, I go home and say, oh, I stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum, and oh, what a good boy am I. And we have come home from churchianity thinking that we had worshiped God when we indeed had not. So God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to move this thing outside the camp. I am going to separate you from this thing. And you're going to have to, if you really want to know God, you're going to have to go out there. And you're going to have to go out there by yourself. And you're going to have to find God yourself. Listen, Elisha, you're going to have to get back across the Jordan yourself. Elijah got you across, but where's your faith? You're going to have to get yourself back across. It's your faith, Christian, not the preachers, not the song leaders, not the collective congregation, not the warm, fuzzy feelings, not the enjoyment of the group. The group didn't die for you. Christ did. You're going to have to find Christ yourself. That's what he said. Brother Gene, are you sure you are interpreting this right? Where did it say that Moses took the tabernacle? Verse 7, Exodus 33. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. Remember that? Without the camp. Afar off from the camp. Dear soul, listen. True believers are about as far off from religion as they have ever been in this particular situation and circumstance in the day in which we live. God's breaking this thing up. It's far off from the camp. Do you really want to know God? Well, I think we ought to get back together, and I think we ought to. You miss the leeks and garlics of Egypt, don't you? You want that warm, fuzzy feeling again. God said, listen, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, I'm going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean to tell me God's going to say that I worked iniquity while I was involved in churchianity and in the continuation of ceremonies? Yes, unless you really had Jesus Christ in your heart and you wanted to know him. Well, let's prove it. Let's break this whole thing up and put the tabernacle way away from organized religion. And now let's see, do you even know where your Bible is? Do you go get it down on Tuesday or Thursday? Do you actually pray to God during the day when it ain't Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever time services were scheduled for our worship service? So we need to be careful, because it's going to be that Jesus Christ comes. The day of Christ is going to come when you think not. And it said they knew not until the flood came, and it shall be that way in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. I'm trying to warn you. But Brother Gene, are you sure you're telling us the truth about this? Okay. What did we say in Exodus 33:7? He pitched it without the camp. And everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. Twice it says without the camp, right? Okay. Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. And verse number 12. Well, here we go again. Verse 10. We have an altar. The born again believer has an altar. Well, we got to go down to the altar and pray, or we can't get saved. Well, where is that altar? You say, well, it's the front of the church. Really? If you're out on the street looking at the building, it looks like it's the back of the church. Where is the altar? Where is God? Where do you meet him? You meet him at the altar of Christ. That's where you meet God. Listen, we Christians, we believers, we spiritual believers have an altar which they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Those people that just serve religion, they can't come to this altar because they're not born again. They may be religionists and they may be devout and devoted in their religious performance, in their ceremonies of traditional religion, but they don't eat of the altar of Christ like the spiritual believer does. Where is Christ? Where is the church? Where is this assembling of ourselves together? It's where the eagles gather together and feed off the carcass. Where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. They mount up with wings as eagles. They are those who soar in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. And where are they assembled together? I'm not with you in your house, wherever you're listening to this. You're not with me over here in this sanctuary, in this building of a church, structure. But we are gathered together. Where are we gathered together? I am a spirit, and those that worship me must worship me in spirit, not in location. For if they say, lo, here or there, believe it not. If they say, lo, here is Christ in the little chambers, go not after them. If your Christianity is not enough to see you through a time of separation from church order, you don't really have Christianity. If it requires for you to have the body of Christ around you, or those that say they are, and going through the order well, the prelude, you know, everybody sit down and get quiet because we're going to have this organ solo and get everybody settled down. And then we're going to have the song leader, the minister of music, get up there and lead us in a song and a prayer. And then we'll get started and we know exactly how it's going to go. We don't need a bulletin to tell us the order of services. We've done it so much we know it by heart. But is God in any of that? Not necessarily. Things of God should be done decently and in order. Yes. But the church is not an organization. You can't join the church because it's not an organization. The preacher doesn't have the right to open the doors of the church for the reception of members. Whoever said they were closed? Jesus Christ said, I have the key of David. I can open and no man can close. And I can close and no man can open. So it's up to the Lord. You got to deal with God himself. You yourself have got to deal with God himself. But now the tabernacle is outside the camp. What are you going to do?
Well, we used to on Sunday get in our car and after we got our bath and, you know, and got ready to go and had our breakfast and put on certain kinds of clothes, we drove over there and we went to church. But did you worship? They must worship me in spirit and in truth. Now listen, Hebrews 13. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Those people who just go through religious order, they don't have any right to feast off Christ. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned outside the camp, without the camp. Same words we found twice in Exodus 33:7. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You say, well, Jesus died in Jerusalem. Well, did he actually? This says he suffered outside the gate. You need to be careful. Listen. Verse 13, let us, those that want to eat off the spiritual altar of Christ, let us go forth therefore unto him, watch out for the next few words, without the camp. Moses said, you've been so ungodly, you can't even wear your ornaments anymore. You shouldn't even act like you are a Christian and act like you put on these airs and we do these things and we have a meek spirit. Oh, I'm submissive to this and that and the other. Well, yeah, really? He says, because you have been so ungodly in having Joshua build you a calf, you even gave your earrings and all of that to melt it down to make you a calf that you said, that's God. Have we not turned God into money and gold in America? Yes. That which is highly esteemed among Americans is the love of money, which is the root of all evil. That's the reason we can't get anything done in America anymore. It's because those who are in the position of leadership desire money and power, and they're governed by it rather than by that which they're supposed to be governed and helping the people. Listen, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. If I got to go afar off, and Moses put the tent afar off outside the camp, everybody's going to know that I have abandoned that which we used to do. And they're going to see that I have a need that is going to expose me as one who needs the Lord God wherever he is. and do away with all the camaraderie of practiced ceremonies. We're going to get together. Yeah, everybody stand. We're going to sing. Why do we stand when we sing this song? Why do we sit when we sing that song? I don't know. Why do we do these things? Well, after, you know, two songs and a prayer, we're going to pass the pan. Everybody knows that. Why do we do it that way? Well, that's the way we've always done it. Well, is that worship? Not necessarily. So if God fixes it so that you have to expose yourself and leave the congregation of Israel to go outside the camp in order to have a relationship and to have communication with God, will you go and bear that reproach? Well, I think we ought to hurry up and get together and meet together again. Why? Yeah, really. You haven't asked yourself why? Do you think it's strange that I'm asking you why? Yes, I want to know why. So that you'll feel comfortable about yourself again and leave God out again and go back to the tradition of religion and the practice of ceremonies and have not have a shred of worship in it. Isn't it better that if you stand in your tent door, that you stand in your tent door and watch Moses go by and see the glory of God fall? Isn't it better that we stand and watch him go back to heaven and have the Holy Ghost come on Pentecost and say, now, worship God in spirit and in truth, not in location, not in ceremonial practice, not in the practice and the tradition of ceremonies. Yeah, but those people that hold up ceremonies and that want to sustain ceremonial, traditional worship, they're not going to like us. Ta-da, there's your problem. You want to be liked by them or you want to be received by God? The Master has come and call us for thee. This is the time when the Lord would have us come to him and see if we will be able to have God make up his mind as what he's going to do with us. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For I want you to understand something. Hebrews 13:14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What is your sacrifice? Well, Jesus is my sacrifice. Yep, I understand that. But don't you have anything to offer God? Offer to God the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. Well, used to. Before this COVID came, we didn't offer any sacrifice to God continually just on Sunday morning. But God requires it continually, unbroken, constantly. Dear soul, we have to understand that our hearts need to be united to God in worship and in praise and in adoration. Whether we can stand with a brother or a sister or a piano player or an organist or, you know, certain clothing or certain place and do stuff that we've always did or not. Are you a Christian when you're in your regular weekly clothes doing meaningless tasks? Or are you not? Are you just a Christian when you put on those clothes, on those days, went to that place and met with those people and did those things? And dear soul, listen. I don't want to get personal, and I don't want to act like I'm judging or throwing rocks at you, but there's a lot of things we've done in this church on Sunday that didn't have anything to do with God. And sometimes it was hard to get people to leave their fellowship with one another out there in the dining hall to get them to come back into worship service. Why? Because they didn't want to be broken up from what they were enjoying more than what they were going to have to do if they come through those double doors and come back in here and sat down now. I was really enjoying that. And I hate it's broken up now. What am I got to do? Oh, got to practice religion. Is that what it was? We need to check up on ourselves, folks, and find out, because they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Listen at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What? Often reproved. Said unto the gospel. Said unto that old mean preacher that just kept holding our feet to the fire and telling us that we need to make sure we're right with God. Make sure we understand that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that is often reproved and hardeneth his neck. Well, I was just having too good a time out there with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowshipping. Is that what that really was? Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that your fellowship may be with us. The first several verses of 1 John says. Were you actually fellowshipping with them? And did you realize that the fellowship with them is that which ought to bring you to fellowship with God? But we were already into the second verse of the second song before we could get you to come back in. Why? You were having too good a time with one another. And God has said, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. I should be sought first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all other things. And yet our hearts are full of love and camaraderie with human beings in a religious tradition more than it is with God. Moses said, I'm taking the tabernacle, and I'm not only going to take it outside the camp, but I'm going to take it afar off. And those that want to worship God are going to have to go afar off, outside the camp. Well, look at there. There goes old so-and-so. They're going out there to that tabernacle. You see that? They're going out there to that tabernacle. Moses moved it out there. Kind of offends me. We always had it in the middle of the camp. We won't. God to know, and we want everybody else to know that God's in the middle of us. But he wasn't. God pulled up stakes and moved way off and said, I'm not with you anymore like that. I wanted to be in the midst of you and have you to come to me, but you have rebelled against me and sinned against me. I have chosen you above all the people of the world. There's no other nation like you. And yet, this is what you've done. Can I ask you a question? How did Jesus of Nazareth, who is eternal Son of God, get crucified? Couldn't have been done without the Jerusalem professor, the Jerusalem believer. The Jerusalem sinner was a sinner that just was unbelievable. Pilate and Caesar could never have touched Christ if it had not been the Pharisees and scribes. Oh, my soul, let me call you to God. Let me call you to come back to God. Not come back to this building, not come back to this day, but come back to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Go outside the camp. Bear my reproach. Serve and worship God in spirit and in truth on every day, in every way, in every place, and not just isolated on one day that we have set aside. Oh, my soul. Matthew chapter 15. I hope that's what I want. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 6. If you honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free, they said. I'm not going to give this to the Lord. Let's dedicate to my mom and daddy, so I don't have to pay tithe. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Oh, my soul, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What iniquity did they work? They were prophesying in his name. They were casting out devils in his name. They were doing wonderful works. They were helping people become moral. And God said it was a work of iniquity. How did you find out? God took his tabernacle away from you and put it afar off and said, okay, now let's find out, are you really a Christian or are you just a religionist? Ye hypocrites, I'm reading Matthew 15:7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We read just as loud as everybody else when we were reading the scriptures in the church. And I got up and gave my testimony, and I sang my song, and I gave my devotion in this. And listen, I honored God with my lips. But where was your heart? Listen, Matthew 15:9. But in vain do they worship me. Well, it was a worship service. It says so right here on the bulletin. Was it? They that worship him must worship him in their spirits, not in their practice of traditional religion. But in vain do they. This is God talking about us. He said, you know all that worship you said you did for all those years? He said, it didn't count. Didn't mean anything to me, God said. But in vain did they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Well, as long as the tabernacle was in the middle of the camp, we were doing good, just clicking off religion and doing good stuff. But that was just do's and don'ts that you came up with as you progressed in your life of living in the camp. This is what we do, and this is what we don't do. Well, that's just sociably accepted, you know. God said you got more thought about that kind of stuff than you do about me. And I hear your mouth, but man looks on the outward appearance. Can you tell me where God looks? But the Lord looketh upon the heart. These people draw nigh to me with their lips, but the heart where I'm looking is far from me. That's where it is. So we understand and see, dear soul, that because Israel had turned from God, and because they wanted things like they wanted them being more influenced by Egypt than they were of God, they, with their influence of Joshua, influenced that preacher to help them make them a golden calf.
And dear soul, our pulpits in America are filled with more preachers that are trying to please the people and are being talked into what the people want and making them the golden calves that shows how great they are and letting them get naked and do what they want to do and condoning it, breaking God's law and causing the congregation of God to be removed from the camp and be put afar off. And God said, now you got to go outside the camp unto Jesus, bearing his reproach. Isn't that something? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, that means we got to go to church. No, it means that you got to go to Jesus. The assembling of ourselves together where the eagles feed off the carcass, where those people who are not ashamed to walk outside the camp and go way out there and put their backs on Israel and say, there goes old John, you know. He used to be right here among us, but look at him. He's going out there to that camp. He's going outside of that tabernacle, bearing his reproach. Dear soul, we need to understand and see that it's those who don't have any desire to please men and to continue in meaningless, useless ceremonies that are condemning us and deceiving us and thinking that we are great Christians because we sang "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You know, Martin Luther wrote that, and man, we appreciate him. Dear soul, you better start appreciating Jesus Christ more than you do John Calvin and Martin Luther. And be willing to go wherever he is, even if it brings you to embarrassment and shame and reproach. You need to follow Jesus, because Jesus is going to judge you one day. And this is what we're talking about, the day of Christ. That's the way that is. It is. Jeremiah 51. Wait a minute, I'm not finished with Hebrews 10 yet. I got to hurry. Our time's almost gone. Listen. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, Hebrews 10:26. Wait a minute. Back up to 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what I'm trying to do. I see the day approaching. I see that our nation has fallen into apostasy. I see that the man of sin are baptized believers sitting in the church acting like they're Christians. And he said, and so much the more. That's what I'm trying to do. So much the more as I see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, if you keep on trying to follow after religion and ceremonies and tradition and not go outside the camp where Jesus is, after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. God will not allow Calvary to have any effect upon our sins if we keep on with this without following Christ. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much worse or sterner and heavier punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Are you doing despite to the Spirit of grace and not following the Lamb outside the camp bearing his reproach? And are you saying, I don't care what you say, that's not the Holy Spirit that tells me that I can't get together with everybody else, when it actually is? Are you doing despite to the Spirit of God and not bowing to the present leadership of the Lord? These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. I want to finish out with Jeremiah 51.
the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, and verse 5. Jeremiah 51, 5. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Get out of it. Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people. What are my people doing in Babylon? We were raised up in traditional religion and we don't know how to worship. God has done something in removing the tabernacle outside the camp afar off, and we are not willing now to go outside the camp and bear Christ's reproach. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. This is the time of the Lord's vengeance. Are you willing to go to Jesus, or do you want to make the Holy Ghost come to you and quench that spirit and despise the spirit and do despite to the Spirit of God? Dear soul, when Lot went to his sons-in-laws and he says, you need to wake up, get out of this bed and run with me, he seemed as one that mocked, and it shall be the same in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Does this message seem to you as one that mocked? Do you think this man's absolutely gone nuts, even though he has had the Holy Spirit to help him open the scriptures and show you the mind of God in both the Old and New Testament in Ezekiel 33 and Hebrews 13? Then you will not know until the flood game comes and takes you all away. Don't do it. Come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore. God have mercy, for the day of Christ is coming. Our dear brother Bobby Quick is going to come now and bring us one of his beautiful and blessed renditions of some hymn that the Lord has put on his heart, and we thank the Lord for this opportunity to be able to have this music presented for you. Come on, Brother Bobby.
I think God is very serious.